More importantly, Lord, help us to have the courage to apply it in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please sit. And I do apologize for the mess I'm making of the liturgical structure of our service this morning, but it all seems to be fitting in my mind, so I hope you will forgive me. Let me back one day. And the question which I've been asked to talk to you about today is God's generosity and ours. And I've set it in the context of three kind of questions. And the first is, how generous is your God? How generous is your God? Let me take you on a journey to discover God's generosity. I am overwhelmed by the grandeur of God's creation. For the past month or so, we have enjoyed beautiful sunny weather. Summer is here. And for the last 10 nights, Annette and I have been in our motorhome at Walkington, out looking out over beautiful fields that are ripening to harvest. We can see the wheat beginning to ripen. We've seen the barley. We've seen peas, which are just growing by the hour as they come ready to be picked at some stage in the future, in the next 10 weeks or so. A beauty beyond thing. Last night, we were sitting in the motorhome, and suddenly we realized we could see the top of the Humber Bridge. It was amazing. I've yet to challenge myself by getting out of in the middle of the night, hoping for it to be a clear night and to see the stars in the sky. But each day we open our eyes and the sun is streaming through our bedroom curtains, isn't it? You must agree with me. It is. And probably, if it's anything like me, you're finding it very difficult to sleep at 5 o'clock in the morning. Would that be right? The sun is streaming in. And you're awake. And however hard you try, you can't turn over and go back to sleeping. I can't anyway. Imagine the wealth that our planet Earth contains. Think of it in terms of the energy of humankind. Billions of people making money, working their socks off, creating profit. Think of the wealth that's hidden inside our beautiful blue planet. Think of just one commodity. Think of oil. Where would we be without oil? Think of all the resources we mine, like gold, copper, tin. Our blue planet is rich beyond compare. Think of all the fish in the sea, the harvest of the sea. Think of the wealth that was once upon a time built in Grimsby and in Hull before the Icelandic trawlers took over the fishing industry from those two towns. Our beautiful blue planet on which we live and move and have our being is very rich. God has given it to humankind to look after. Is that the extent of our understanding of God's generosity? Is it? Consider the night sky. You know, 1,000 stars in the sky, wouldn't that be plenty? I can only keep track of a half a dozen or so constellations and planets by name. Apparently, we can actually see about 5,000 stars with the naked eye on a clear night, when we can avoid the light pollution from humankind. Surely that would be enough. Yet I understand our galaxy has 400 billion stars. Is that the extent of our understanding of God's generosity? I understand that there is something like 10 billion galaxies within reach of the most powerful telescopes on our little blue planet Earth. To think of it another way, apparently, there are 10 times as many stars as all the grains of sand on all the world's beaches and in all the world's deserts. This is the Creator God who openly, handedly lavished complexity and majesty in the creation of the universe and the earth. Let me share with you some thoughts from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? That, for me, is the extent of our glorious, generous God. Out of the whole of God's wonderful, complex universe, he has given humankind, little blue planet Earth, to look after and care for. The psalmist in Psalm 8 says, and I quote, you made him, humankind, ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and all that swim in the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our God is undoubtedly a generous God, and we measure our generosity as humankind against that unique standard. Creation and all it has to offer is the first measure of God's wonderful, everlasting generosity. The second mark of God's wonderful generosity is to be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that we had read to us earlier. Paul reminds us, the Corinthian church, and us, nearly 2,000 years later, that we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ, is sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now, forever interceding, praying for each one of us. God the Son gave up all of that great generosity of God's creation to come and live on little blue planet Earth. Jesus himself is richer beyond our wildest imaginings. He gave it all up to join us here on earth, to understand afresh what it means to have a relationship with our Creator God, who brought the whole universe into being. And it doesn't matter if you don't believe in creation. doesn't matter if you're an atheist who believes that there was a moment in time and a big bang. Because at that point of singularity for an atheist, he still has to answer the question, how did something come out of nothing? That's our Creator God at work. I'm sure that you've heard the word grace used as a mnemonic. God's riches at Christ's expense. To remind each one of us that through Christ's death and resurrection, we have a relationship with our generous Creator God that will last into eternity. Compared with the riches of the whole universe, our planet Earth is poor. Compared with the riches of planet Earth, each one of us as a human being is poor. Imagine that wealth is contained in a bucket of sand, that you make a sandcastle, plump, for your children and grandchildren. The wealth that we have, in terms of the generosity of God contained in that pot of sand, is far bigger than anything any one of us can imagine. And if I were to just take 100 grains of that little sandcastle, count them out tenderly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, until I got to 100, and said, that represented the wealth of the richest human being on earth, who happens, I understand, to be the owner of Amazon. And then I say, now how rich is Her Majesty the Queen? Because you think of her as being rich, don't you? In that kind of comparison, Her Majesty the Queen would be worth just half, less than half, of one grain of sand. And we think of Her Majesty the Queen as being extremely rich. That is God's generosity. That is human wealth at question in our secular world. And that leads me on to my second point. It was a long introduction. Second question. How generous was Paul expecting the Corinthian church to be, based on that passage we had read to us and what I had to say about the giving towards the Jerusalem church? So when we think of generosity in God's terms, that is the picture that Paul is sharing with the Corinthian church. He has all of that Old Testament understanding of the creativeness of God as he talks about the giving of money. Paul is asking the Corinthian church to excel in the grace of giving financially to the needs of those in extreme poverty. The city of Corinth was rich. Their economic wealth was based on trade across the Mediterranean Sea. Some of the church members would undoubtedly have been wealthy by the standards of the Macedonian church in northern Greece. Paul was encouraging the church as a whole to seeing their financial giving in the context of God's generosity. Hence, that long introduction. At the end of the day, our wealth is God's wealth. We are stewards of it. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, reminded the Corinthian church that the Macedonian churches of northern Greece, of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, who were also facing a severe ordeal involving persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, how they gave funds generously to support the persecuted and famine-bereft Christians of Jerusalem and Judea out of their poverty, they gave richly to the needs of the Jewish church in Jerusalem. Paul does not instruct or command the Corinthian church to give generously. He simply reminds them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that Jesus, their Lord and Savior, became poor so that through his poverty they might become rich, the promise of eternal life. Paul is asking the Corinthian church to see how generous God has been with them and to complete the task that Paul invited them to consider in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 5. So here we have in the passage read to us today, Paul saying, come on, you guys, you started to give, keep giving, and complete the work. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 5, we read that the Corinthian church promised a generous gift. Generous compared with a smaller gift that would have come from the Galatian churches or the Macedonian churches, but one which was extremely generous based on their own wealth. So that brings me to my third point. How generous are we? Paul reminded the Corinthian church that they excelled in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete zeal for things Christian, and in their love for Paul and the other Christian leaders. He now goes one step further and asks for generosity in giving financially. There was a specific need to be met among the first century Christians, particularly in Jerusalem and Judea, where there was a severe famine. The Mediterranean churches sought to meet the need so that as far as possible, there would be equality of wealth, much in the style that we find in Acts 4, chapter 4, verses 32 to 37, where the early church believers held everything in common and there were no needy people. Imagine what it would be like if the church at Ferriby did an audit of all that you have and you shared it, not just with yourselves, but with other Christians in the village, and maybe even to those who are exploring what Christianity is all about. It's a different world, isn't it? Today, on our beautiful blue planet Earth, for us, the jewel in God's creation, there are desperate needs to be met. We have oceans of plastic washing around our planet. We have extreme poverty, particularly among the Islamic nations. We have refugees fleeing poverty and persecution as they float across the Mediterranean Sea. And today, the ports of Italy have been closed to many of those who are trying to cross from Africa to Europe. Much closer to home, universal credit is failing to provide for the needs of the poor of the United Kingdom. Our food banks are working extremely hard to keep the poor fed. They could do with more. And then this week, our beloved National Health Service celebrated its 70th birthday. Strapped for cash? Or does it need to improve the use of its resources already? I believe it to be a mixture of both. The secular world is in desperate need. Many of our global Christian churches are in desperate need. How then, in these situations, are we going to show the generosity of God at work in our Christian communities? Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Yet, let each one of us remember how generous God is. Remember our Christian leaders, past and present, who spoke the word of God to us. Consider the outcome of their way of life, and let us imitate their faith. For Jesus Christ surely is the same yesterday and today and forever. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Let us today start to become generous givers, because in so doing, we recognize the generosity of a God who loves us so much that he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. Such generosity deserves a generous response from us. Amen. Amen.